Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June. Happy 2022.
Happy 2022. Now, I know, obviously, we did release an episode, which we recorded in 2021, and now it's 2022. A lot of different, you know, deep divers, you're never going to you're not going to find us, like, right in the moment.
No, you know? And you shouldn't, because quite honestly, if you find us in the moment, it will overwhelm you.
It really
will. We are best at a distance.
Yes, and we're best like with a 2-week delay.
Yes, so that you know we're okay.
Yeah.
Because you've seen us on Insta, you know, and you're like, oh, okay. They didn't like, you know, run away from their families or like disappear.
Exactly.
You know, or be asked to leave.
Now, listen, I had a wild experience where I was listening to our episode, again, stay with us, deep divers, that we released last week. So right in the beginning of the new year, I was listening to it while I was away over the holidays.
Yeah.
And
Wish I had done that. There were some actual future self advice I could have taken during that holiday that I forgot. So what happened for you when you listened? Did it help you? Were you like quantum leaping? Did someone
I gotta tell you, I had the wildest experience. So I was listening to it while I was away on vacation and I really enjoyed it. And I had the darndest experience because sometimes I'm like, why do people like this? Like, why do people like podcasts? Like, what is this? You know, and completely don't understand any of it. But God damn it, if I didn't have some laughs and I wasn't listening to myself and thinking like, oh, that's helpful. Like, okay. And listening to you too, it was the wildest.
You know,
so I really enjoyed it. You know, went on a long walk, listened to the whole thing, and
I enjoy me too. I enjoy you though. I actually listened after the holiday again. Mistakes are almost immediately after we recorded. I took the feelings we were speaking about and pushed them so way down, like substrata. And then they just came out sideways for the entire holiday. And poor Dan, of course, you know, is just trying to like raise a, you know, a flag. Hey, you think this might be about the MRI? And I was like, I'll tell you what, it's not. Right. It's about the MRI. Right. Okay.
That's the last
Okay. It's not about the MRI. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So don't ever bring that up again. But then I listened after the fact and after I realized it was all about the MRI, of course. And then I listened to your advice again to me and I found myself crying at the sink to myself talking about it because sometimes you're the most vulnerable, obviously, when you're not in your own head. You're much more empathetic to yourself. But
God,
it's very bizarre because normal people don't look back at a recording they made of an intimate conversation with one of their best friends.
So may I ask, where are you now? Because I know it's January 10th and you have been on my mind. How is everything?
Again, it just keeps getting pushed. I have to keep bringing it to the surface. I mean, it's a wily one, these fears. They really like to hide like a dust bunny, you know, and you got to get under the couch and get them out. So listen, I will say this, the outpouring of love I got from the deep divers of people who have had scans, have upcoming scans, have never had scans. One deep diver, June, and I meant to text this to you, screenshot her calendar on her phone. And she said, I put all of my friends' important dates, this is a stranger, in my phone. So I remember to think of them on that day. And you're in there on the 13th.
Wow.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Wow. I love that.
Why have we made so many stranger friends?
I don't know. It's nice, though. I feel like
I feel so much less alone.
Me too. And I also feel like it's nice. I'm sorry. I'm getting stranger as I get older, but it's just nice to have people kind of lifting you up, you know,
yes,
when you need it. And it is nice. It's very, very nice.
It's very, so grateful, very nice. For this,
and you know, I know I don't community. Respond to anyone who reaches out.
They know I'm the voice of this couple.
I know.
I often say all our love, XX, J&J.
I appreciate it. You know what, Jess? You have like full authority to speak for me as me.
I do. All our love, we're thinking of you. And I know you are. And you've read it. That's the thing. It's not that you haven't read it.
No.
You know, and if it's important, I get it to you, obviously. But, you know, I'm like Ronald Reagan. He wrote back to every single one of his fans, which is bananas. Now, he was the president of the United States, and I would argue he had better things to be doing than answering his fan mail. Because, you know, he continued
from that presidency. Yeah. We're suffering to this day. Yeah.
He continued it. Okay.
That seems unsustainable. That seems like that's the only thing he could have been doing during his waking hours. Yeah.
But he managed to answer everyone back. But anyway, so that was wonderful.
Suffering.
We are. One thing that also was so helpful is one deep diver said, hey, just so you know, like I have to get one every year and I pop a Xanax and then I go nai-nai.
Ooh! Wait a second. Why didn't we even
I don't know.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. Why would
we have to approach this sober in our right minds?
Exactly.
Wait.
I know.
Oh, God. It's so disturbing how turned around we can be sometimes. Jessica. Oh, God. And by the way, if you might need one today, tomorrow, the next day, the day after, we may need some pharmaceuticals.
So that was Dan's frustration with me, is he was like, so you're leaning heavy on what we have for us, because ever since cancer, you know, they give you Ativan and Klonopin, and they say if you're having a tough time with these thoughts or whatever, you can take this. I was like, no, didn't occur to me. And he was like, I can't with that. Like, what do you
it
mean?
It didn't occur to me either, Jessica, and I
what
take full responsibility. I'm so sorry. It didn't occur to me.
I didn't
was like,
occur
you
to
need
me,
to
so.
Go there bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, taken in the sights and sounds.
Why?
Why?
I'm not a Buddhist monk. I'm not training for this. And that is actually the greater kind of energy I'm bringing into 2022, because after I had such a hard time over the holidays with no support of the pharmaceuticals I have been prescribed, you know, I'm talking to my therapist and I was like, why am I struggling? Why am I trying so hard? I'm done trying hard. I'm done fighting City Hall. Like, I'm done. I'm done trying to optimize everything.
I'm also like, Big Pharma's so bad. Big Pharma's everywhere. Like, let's get Big Pharma over here.
Yeah.
When we need it.
I'm not going to take it all the time, but I mean, even in the greater sense, like, if a situation is tough for you, don't do it. If you're having a tough time, lean on something. And I don't care if that's Emily in Paris, please let me circle back to the character of Sylvie. This woman who was also in Call My Agent. I'm not even sure how old she is, but I swear to God, she's the sexiest older woman I have ever motherfucking seen.
I have to get my eyes on this.
June, her style of dressing, it is a masterclass.
Wow. Okay.
She was okay. In a bikini coming out of the water like a Bond girl.
Wow.
In Saint-Tropez.
Wow.
And please, everyone's going to have their thoughts about Emily in Paris, but let me tell you, it is a bonbon to be savored. They shoot it as if the pandemic never happened. And I appreciate it.
I love this. Okay.
So anyway.
You really get your shows in. Like, I want to sometimes know, like, when are you getting, when are you?
Do you want to know how I got in three episodes last night?
Yeah.
While I was breading chicken and frying it.
So you put it on like an iPad or you got a TV?
I got my phone. Watch it on my small phone. I don't know why. Then I'm tending to the fire, you know, but I'm fretting and I'm also getting some shows in. Now, did Dan ask why at 7 p.m.? It was 7 p.m. And he's like, nobody, like, well, you told me you wanted to get BB to bed early so we could practice for school. And it's 7 p.m. Are we European? And I'm like, I'm in Paris right now mentally.
Yes, this is Jessica in Paris.
And I will be in Paris until this fucking ordeal is over.
You know what? And that's a great... sometimes, like, TV is really important, and especially bingeable TV, for the times in your life where you simply need time to go by. You know, that's where I found The Real Housewives. And I started off with Kathy, My Life on the D-List, right after my mom died, and I came back to LA, and it was such a fucking haze. And I simply needed days to go by. And yeah. I would sit in Paul's apartment and watch Bravo. And it was such a, I think I found the Kardashians at that time. It was like,
they're a panacea. Kind of, yeah.
Yes. And I just needed to get some hours under my belt.
Sometimes you just do.
Sometimes you do. You know, sometimes you do. I really apologize. I want to make a formal apology to Jessica and to our Deep Dive community for not suggesting she pop a Zanny. Like, I'm really, this upset. Isn't who I want to be, Jessica. Like,
why did I send you
through this stone cold sober?
Only one deep diver came up with this solution.
Well, then I blame the rest of you all,
so,
too.
Yes.
Wow.
No more struggle in 2022. No more struggle.
No, let us live on Xanax.
Yes. Let us live easily.
Let us live, yes, with pleasure and
with
ease.
With pleasure and ease. Ease.
God damn it. I really, you know, I was just turned around there, Jess. I was turned around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever makes your life easier, that's what I want us to do. Because this fucking last 2 years has been too damn hard. And we've been trying too hard to, like, optimize ourselves. Let's give up. Let's lean back.
Well, you
give
know
up
I'm on board for that.
And get high.
I'm bored for that, sweetie. I really am. I really am. I appreciate that. That's a nice resolution for 2022. Let's work less.
Yes. Yeah. Work less. I mean, no, and work, but like, whatever. I don't even need, because actually, creatively, I feel more energized than ever.
Great.
Carl Hornbauer and I working on a pitch. I can't stop being married to him.
Ooh, oh, that's exciting. Jess, that's exciting.
It's exciting.
Yeah, okay, that's great news.
I mean, he did look across the table at me in London and say, the first thing he said when I said, I think we should do this, he goes, am I going to want to kill you?
Well, yes.
And I said, yes. Like, this won't be fun or easy for you. It will be easy for me. What I do to you mentally, that's on you.
You know what, Jess? I will say, as somebody who, you know, we were friends for so long, and I do feel like we've taken a professional step together with this podcast.
Sure,
and, you know,
totally.
You do learn a lot about people.
Yeah.
When you enter into a different, when you take a relationship and put it in a kind of a different setting. And, you know, I think the thing I am learning about you is your charm and spirit and playfulness really... it lets you get away with so much, you know, and I got my own struggles, and I'm sure you could talk about that. Like, when I texted you, nah, you know, I got my own struggles, but I do find your just life force and spirit to be unstoppable. Unstoppable.
I appreciate that. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, I've been actually trying to be on time. That's been a new thing.
I have not noticed that, but when I signed on today, I was like, oh, Jess is here before me.
Yeah, I have a new watch. Actually, I wanted to share this little tip. I got a watch. It's a digital, it looks like something from 8-Bit Christmas, which, by the way, I need to talk about that right after this, what I'm saying. There's a watch that I found called Watchminder. Okay. It was invented by this man named Larry. He's a psychologist of some sort.
Okay.
This is for people with ADD. Now, I don't have ADD, but I need to be cued every hour to breathe. Otherwise, I hold my breath all day long and get a headache, like out of anxiety. So my therapist wants me to take like a couple box breaths, you know, every hour. So I don't want my phone all the time to be buzzing me, and then I have to find the phone, and I'm not going to wear an iWatch because that's
I'll
crazy.
Never wear an iWatch.
I won't.
I won't do it.
But part
and
of the
I don't
problem,
think they're called iWatches.
They're not. But part of the problem is I don't ever know what time it is, and I get lost in sometimes my dysregulation, and like 2 hours will go by, you know, and I'm in a TJ Maxx or something. So this actually has helped me to be on time. And I love it. Watchminder. So you set reminders in it. But because it's made for children.
Yeah.
No, it is, but it's not because it's meant for children, it has you choose from a variety of reminders like backpack, bathroom, homework.
So these are you
bedtime.
Wow.
Yes. And then I was able to just like set the basics. One that was breathe. Yeah. But it's like, backpack, like leave for school. Like, so I'm using that and it's actually helping me be on time. But okay, transitions.
But Jess, we have quite an episode coming up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have such a fraught, I talk a little bit about this with our wonderful guest. I have a very fraught relationship with parenting advice, you know, because I do feel like in my journey as a mother, it has caused me a lot of that space of like parenting guidance and
optimization. The shame and what am I not doing right? And I got to figure out what to do right. Yeah.
It's really, that has, for someone like me, and I imagine for a lot of HSPers, it's been very hard for me because I believe everything.
I understand everything
and I don't care about anything as much as I care about this. So it's such a tough thing for me to feel into and to really, I think especially because as a mom, it took me a long time, you know, to feel like an authority on my own
children.
Motherhood.
Oh,
and
yes.
Children.
Yes.
And I do feel that way now. And so I get very scared of opening up my motherhood for others to potentially come into or critique is
effect.
The wrong word
because
boy, is that not what's effect. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe
because it took me so long to get here.
So we interview Michelle Kenny, who is an expert basically on connective parenting and a counselor. And I've been working with her and she, what's really fascinating, Peace and Parenting is her Instagram and her website. But what's a fascinating thing, and people can listen to this during the interview, is your journey from being hesitant to opening a little. Mm-hmm. And then by the end saying, okay, let's see. I really think that there might be something to this. Because actually, out of all of the parenting ideologies, this one is the easiest because it is ease. You're not trying to enforce punishment, discipline, timeout. I have to teach you something. She keeps saying, you do not have to teach your children anything. You just have to model the best kind of self, your best self.
Mm-hmm.
Model it. And so,
know that the reason why I'm so careful about this stuff is because, and I know I'm not the only one, because I've seen women so damaged by internalizing the messages of like, we can do better, we should do better. And I'm very aware of that. I'm very sensitive to that for myself and also for other moms and especially new moms. But I did get a lot out of it. I did start implementing special time. And next week, I want to talk to you about special time.
Okay, great.
Deep divers, you'll hear all about it in this very special conversation we just had. And I'm so excited to hear from you and hear what you think about Michelle Kenney.
All right, deep divers, we have a very special guest today, and I'm so excited to share her with you. It is Michelle Kenney. Michelle Kenney is somebody I've spoken about on the pod. I don't know when it was. I was deep in my London depression, and I was struggling with yelling. And I was like, did my frantic research on how to stop yelling. And Michelle came up and I started following her Instagram, Peace and Parenting. She is a certified parenting instructor and specializes in, and I'm sure I'm not saying this right, but connective parenting. And the things she was posting on Instagram were so powerful about how we can approach conflict and communication with our kids that I reached out to her and I said, can I get one-on-one with you? Because, you know, June, I like to go through.
To take things to another level. Yeah.
It's not enough. I got to get into it.
A little closer.
A little closer. Now, thankfully, Michelle actually offers this service. But even if she hadn't, you know, I probably would have gotten
it.
And you know, yeah. I would also get it. And you know, I would get it. So at any rate, Michelle and I have had two sessions so far. And when I tell you that it has truly transformed my house, my family, and the way I am relating to my daughter. And I have tears in my eyes just really thinking about it, the impact of it. So I want to share her with you. And I'll just give you quickly her little backstory, and then we can let her talk because I just want her to talk for 40 minutes. Before becoming a hand-in-hand certified instructor in 2015, and she'll tell us about that, she worked for 12 years in public schools as a teacher and a counselor. She holds a master's degree in education. She speaks fluent Spanish. She's been trained as a counsel in schools facilitator, and she's an ADL trainer fighting against bias of all types on school campuses. And she also has her own podcast, which I cannot recommend highly enough, called Peace and Parenting. So welcome, Michelle, to the deep dive.
Thank you so much for being here, Michelle.
Thank you, ladies. Wow, that was so sweet, Jessica. I'm so glad we met, and I'm so glad that I've been able to get into your world some. It's been a delight. So thank you for allowing me. I appreciate it.
Oh, please. Thank you. So, Michelle, I just want you to explain. It's so radical what you're doing, truly. And it is a revolution, which is what I said to you last session. What you're doing is a revolution in parenting because it is so different from how most of us, I would say all of us, were raised.
Yeah.
Can you explain your approach?
Yes, I'll explain my approach and I'll explain how I got there and why I too believe it's revolutionary because it is so counterintuitive to what we've been fed our whole lives. It's the idea of connective parenting, and you had it exactly right. It's using brain science as our guide to find ways to connect with our kids in moments of turmoil, as opposed to punishing them, as opposed to coming with consequences. It's really trying to use connection as your guide. And that can seem very vague, but it's really coming with more love and coming with more kindness. And it sounds really hippy dippy and, oh, it's, yeah, that's great. I'm sure that works for you. But it does. And that's what I feel is so revolutionary about it, is because we've been fed this line in life that we have to punish, we have to shame, we have to teach, we have to ridicule, we have to make sure our kids learn. And if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then we use these external devices in order to force behavior. And we don't have to do it like that. And this other way is such a beautiful way, and it really does work.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that was so striking when I reached out to you is I said, hey, you know, my 8-year-old, we're in London. She's adjusting to so many changes and we're having like lots of big feelings. They almost seem like tantrums. And I said, so how do I get that to stop? because if she's not doing that, then I won't be yelling. Right. And you said, wrote me back like, actually, this is very right on track and really good that she's expressing these big feelings. And June and I are both big, we're both very big feeling kids. So we always joke that both of us would have tantrums in the minivan in the Friendly's parking lot. And our family would be like, you know what? We're going into to dinner. When you're done, you know, please join us.
I think so many of us feel that way and have felt that way, that our feelings are too much for our parents, that we're too big for our parents. Our parents can't not process. And so we end up being those kind of parents too, because we don't know what else to do, because we didn't learn how to process our feelings because we didn't have a good model. And it just keeps being, you know, generationally brought down from each of us to our kids, to our grandkids, and there's a place to stop it.
So how does it work? Explain to the deep divers, like, exactly what it means to connect when, so your child is having, even the word tantrum seems negative.
Yeah.
But let's say is having a huge emotional reaction, what we think is huge, but actually is quite normal for them.
Right.
About something. And what would the traditional approach be? And then what would you suggest?
I mean, I think there's a lot of approaches as of now. I think a lot of millennial parents will want to talk their kid through the tantrum. What's wrong? Well, how can I fix it? Well, what's going on?
Words,
well,
tell me all your words.
Use your words. But, and the kids are like thinking,
do your breathing.
What the hell? I just want to cry. Like, please stop. Stop talking me out of my feelings. So I think there's that type of, you know, coming to the big feelings, we like to say in our world. Or there's the go to your room. Calm down.
Take it.
And when you can compose yourself, I'll be happy to engage with you. So a child might do that. They might shove their feelings so far down because they want the engagement with their caretaker. They need that connection with their caretaker. So they'll shove their feelings in order to be able to engage in their home life. And then there's the people that get punished. Nope. You are not going to act like this. You're going to time out and that is it. And it's, you know, further shoves feelings too. So there's a lot of different ways that I think it plays out, but the best way, if you can do it, it's so damn hard.
So hard.
Is to come with complete empathy. And I didn't know what empathy was when I started parenting. I thought
I learned the word at, I don't know, I remember 28 years old, my therapist said empathy. I'm like, well, what's that? Yeah. What is that foreign word? I truly did not know what it meant. I never heard it before ever in my life.
No, nor did I know what it looked like or felt like, especially as a mom.
God,
you had a problem. You better get over it. We're going to figure out how to fix it. I'm a problem solver. I'm a doer. And this, we don't have time for this. You don't want to put your ballet shoes on? I'm sorry. You're putting them on.
Right.
So instead, when the child's, you know, having the tantrum or the meltdown about putting the ballet shoes on, it's coming with complete empathy and saying, I'm right here. Honey, I understand you don't want to put the shoes on. I know it's really hard for you right now. It's okay. I'm here. I'm listening to you. And you let them cry. You let them have the tantrum and you let them be upset. And when it's all over, because it's temporary. And I think that's what's hard for people to realize, that they're just temporary feelings that our children need to offload and get off their psyche. Yeah. And those temporary feelings will pass. And when they pass, then you say, okay, are you ready to put on your ballet shoes? Now, granted, we don't have time for a tantrum every single goddamn day. We just don't.
Right.
But when we do, and when we can have that space for them. And I also say, if you don't have space for and time for it now, do you have time for this huge kerfuffle that you're going to create if you start to really push in and say, put the shoes on? I said, 1, 2, 3, we're not leaving until you get these shoes. I mean, that takes
and
a lot of time too.
And then you yell. And then you yell. So I've been working since I was, I don't know, 21 on how to stop my anger response and yelling.
Yeah.
And it's one of the hardest things because I come from a family of yellers who love each other very much, but we do yell. Like it's just a loud house. And that's what I was modeled. So I've worked really hard, but your kids trigger you. Okay. And sometimes their quote unquote bad behavior triggers you when they say something rude, when they refuse to fall in line, when they do it in public. And I'm like, and it's amazing how quickly I just want to raise my voice and it comes out like, oh my God. And then I feel terrible because I remember what it feels like to be yelled at, because then it feels like your parents out of control.
Yeah. And that's not a good place for to be, because now the kid's in control.
Wow. Okay. And they're like, I don't want to be in control. I'm only 8.
You've given them control and everyone's out of control.
And then you have to apologize and make that repair, which of course, you know, parents, what is the study? We make the wrong choice or the wrong decisions like 70% of the time as a parent, but it's all about the repair that makes the connection safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. I mean, I actually like listening to this, I have to say, I do think that I naturally have done this, and this all feels mm-hmm. like something that I practice, and it feels really affirming to kind of hear some science around it. But what has been really important to me though is, and there are moments, I think it's really important to forgive yourself as a parent too. And that's why Jessica knows, but it's very hard for me to, it's been very hard for me in motherhood to like totally subscribe to one ideology or to fully outsource my parenting, because I find it to be so sacred. And so, mm-hmm. you know, you talk about generational changes and, you know, breaking cycles and being a good ancestor and what that means to take care of a child. It's mm-hmm. so, I find the work to be so sacred and to be transformative for myself. But I also really believe in empowering parents and mothers, because, you know, I know that there are times where I've lost it, many times where I've lost it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to also forgive that and to honor that I'm in a growth cycle as well, and that can be modeled for my children to see, and that I'm willing to acknowledge when I've lost my temper and when I haven't been able to handle it, when I gave too much power to them over me.
Yeah.
And I, you know, sometimes I find in like really difficult moments where they're freaking out or whatever, that I have to do that co-regulation too, of just like, I can't jump into their experience. No. I have to be over here and confident in my leadership. So
yeah,
I don't also tantrum on the ground.
Well, that's Michelle, you just said that to me, which is like that they learn 80%, they learn from modeling. And so your job isn't to like dive into their emotion and feel it with them. You have to remain calm.
Yeah, that's exactly what June said. You know, co-regulation is, for people who don't know, co-regulation is I stay regulated to model what regulation mm-hmm. looks like, so that eventually when my child's prefrontal cortex is fully developed at age 25 or later, they can glean from that modeling, and they eventually will regulate. But it's going to take them watching you 3,000 times before they're going mm-hmm. to get there. And you're so right too, June. We must forgive ourselves, because if we parent from a place of guilt and from a place of shame and from a place of feeling so bad about ourselves, we will continue to perpetuate our mistakes, because we're parenting from a place that doesn't feel good. And so I think that is so tantamount in being a parent just in general, is you have to forgive yourself, and you don't want your kids to believe that perfectionism is
the goal.
No, hell no. Because I'll tell you what I thought. So I thought I'll escape my own childhood shame by being a perfectionist. And I tried to push that onto my kids, and that wasn't smart.
Tell me.
And also I want to hear how you found your way into all of this, Michelle, but I also feel like I don't want to model that optimization is the goal, that being the best at it or figuring out the exact hacks to is the goal. Life is so unpredictable.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I'm like, I really want, because where I'm tentative about parenting advice and the books and everything, to be totally honest with you, Michelle, is I feel it's a space for myself that is so where I can so easily access guilt, shame, and fear.
Yeah.
That I know in my own body that I'm like, what I have to show them is that I'm proud of myself, that I love myself, that I'm, you know, doing an incredible job. And I need to really project that because I want them to experience themselves that way and to enjoy themselves. Yeah. So that's it. Just to be totally honest with you, Michelle, that's how I approach this parenting space and advice, because it's very sensitive to me. And I worry about women because I know it's such a delicate space where we can, if we want to, at any point in the day, at any moment, feel like shit about ourselves as mothers.
I think you're so right. And I think there's been this pressure in society that says you have to be a good mom. And if your kid isn't behaving a certain way, you're not a good mom. And I think that's where this pressure is coming. It's very patriarchal, right? The patriarch has said, we want to control everyone, and we're going to control them through punishments, through consequences, through bribes, through all these things, so that we can get everyone to behave correctly.
Yes.
And that way, glorified as the good mom, right? Because you have good kids who behave well. Well, in this parenting, we don't judge our parenting on the way in which our kids behave. We judge our parenting on the way everyone else. And if we feel good and loved and honored, then we know we're on the right path, and that's all it takes.
I remember, I think it was our first session, you were like, tell me, where are a lot of these conflicts coming about? And I said, well, you know, since the pandemic, when, you know, they were in school so much less, I started doing Kumon, which I don't know if any of our listeners have done, but it's this, it is a truly fantastic math program where there's lots of drills. You do like 10 minutes of math drills, but it's incredibly boring. And most kids don't want to do it. And so, you know, there was, in London especially, like a daily struggle over it. And me feeling like, you know, if she doesn't do it because I say she needs to, then she's being disrespectful. And I was forced to practice my piano 30 minutes a day. And I remember sitting at the piano and there was an egg timer. Okay. And it was, the piano was in the basement. And I would spend 30 minutes screaming at the top of my lungs, to the point where, no joke, our neighbors in our little suburban Westfield, New Jersey community would hear it. And they would go, I guess it's 3:30 because Jessica's fucking screaming. And so I'm like, but, and then I enjoyed being able to play the piano. So that was good for me. Well, Michelle goes, well, we're going to stop Kumon. And I go, what? We're going to stop Kumon. I think we need to stop Kumon. And I'm like, no. We can't stop Kumon. Like, I flipped out. I was flipping out. And I'm like, who is this bitch telling me to stop Kumon? And you said, what is the deal? What do you feel when you say you're going to stop Kumon? And I said, well, I feel like I'm being a bad parent because she won't have all the skills she needs to be the best. And that means I'm bad. And you were like, but your connection to her is what is most important. And that's being frayed every day. And that I started crying because I don't think I realized how much I was walking around with this fear that if I don't do all these things, then I'm bad. You know, I'm a bad parent if I don't
That's not your fault, right? Society has given us this message. They've told us these things and they've said, you have to be these ways. You have to have the perfect kid. And it's so unfortunate that we've been saddled with this. It's not fair. And I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like it's a depressing state when we feel like we have to perform in a certain way. And if we don't, we are shamed.
Yes. Yes. And at what cost do you have this, in this case, academic success? Is it successful if your child develops an anxiety disorder over it? You know, is that successful if they then have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in therapy to learn how to regulate themselves. That's not success.
No. Well, it's interesting too, and I do want to hear, Michelle, how you got into this, but it's interesting too to like pull back and really think about what is possible for the future. You know, even just coming, and I mean, we're not out of the pandemic, but coming through it and really thinking about capitalism and thinking about, you know, the ways in which we've structured our society and how we're not sustainable right now. I mean, we're truly not. And like really rethinking what it means to be a member of the broader community and what it could look like.
Yeah.
To really put more value on what you just said, Michelle, which is not how you're behaving, but how you feel. And it's the possibilities to me, especially raising two, you know, boys until they tell me otherwise, is really exciting to think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how did you get into this work?
So I'm a former teacher and counselor. I was a teacher at Santa Monica High School and a counselor there. And I loved my work and I loved kids and kids loved me. And I thought, I'm going to be an amazing mom. So I married my college sweetheart and I had a couple of kids. And about Esme was my oldest, was 2 years old. And she said no to me for the first time. I lost my mind. Like I thought I breastfed you for 2 years. I make organic baby food. I had natural childbirth. I read all the attachment books. I did everything I was supposed to do. And now you're telling me no? Oh, uh-uh. And I started yelling and I couldn't believe that I'd done all this and she was going to tell me no. And I didn't know how to handle it. I just didn't. And I started to be the teacher. We had reward charts. We had yelling. We had it all. And that strong-willed, sweet girl of mine was not going to take it. She just wasn't. That woman is like the strongest of strong. And she just took me to task again and again and again. And finally, I broke down to the right person at a school meeting. And she said, I think you should look into hand-in-hand parenting. Sounds like you might need it. And I said, great. I've read every book. I have a master's degree in education. And I am so lost. And so I hired this coach, sight unseen. I said, come to my house. I don't care what you're selling. I'm buying it. After the first session, my mind exploded into 7 million pieces and I couldn't believe it. And then I went on the like discovery train. I read everything. I studied brain science. I saw Dr. Dan Siegel every time I could. I, you know, took Dr. Markham's course. And then I became a certified instructor and it's a year long deep dive into your own childhood, basically. So you take a year long deep dive into your own psyche. And that's the way you become a certified instructor. And it's a lovely program and it's beautiful and it changed my life. And then I started begging people to come to my house in Laurel Canyon. And I said, please come to my house for a free class. And I converted all my friends.
Oh, wow.
Into this like
I love that.
Way to be more connected and more loving.
Tell me also about homework, what you think you should do with homework. This is wild, June. This is going to blow your fucking mind. Go ahead, Michelle. Tell us what happens when the kids come home with their homework.
I don't give a shit about homework. I really don't. I'm like, you want to do it? Please do it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. If you turn it in and it's not right, you're going to have to deal with that. This is your work, not my work. And my kids have figured it out. We've had a few rocky moments with my little one where she would come home and be like, I got 3 zeros. I'm like, well, that's, how do you feel about those 3 zeros? And she's like, it doesn't feel good. And I'm like, well, only you can fix it, honey. And that's it. Last night, she said, I don't want to do this paragraph. Who writes paragraphs in science, Mom? I don't want to write a paragraph about a scientist. This is stupid. I go, well, then don't do it. She's like, well, I have to. I'm like, well, then do it. She's like, oh, I'm like, I'm happy to help you if you need help. No, I don't need help. And she figured it out. But sometimes it's like, we have to give them the onus. We can't want the homework more than they want the homework. We want them to intrinsically follow their lead.
Themselves.
It's wild. It's wild. And she even said to me
too, because I don't give a shit about homework in in a different way, and I'd like to incorporate your way of not giving a shit about it. I don't give a shit about it because I actually don't believe in it.
Yeah, me neither.
And do not. Yeah, okay. So they I do be, not, and I feel like it paralyzes families.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And I'm like, kids should be done with school.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, we me parents too. Are able to finish their work day. Yep. It's time to be with family. It's time to connect.
Exactly.
And it is so, especially, you know, in the public school system, it's just horrible. Paralyzing.
It's the
and
worst.
I hate it.
Me too.
But I love that idea too of like, and it sounds like that's exactly what happened with baby Jess, is that she was able to kind of find her intrinsic like motivation and also interest
mm-hmm.
to be motivated and led by like what is interesting and, to you and what feels good to you.
And then she said, and please, but here's another thing, Amma. She goes, if I do it, I don't want you to tell me when to do it.
And good then for she goes, her.
And she, and then I said, well, you know, the feelings doctor, now she's like, you've got two. I get it. Nancy and Michelle. I go, yeah, that's right. Michelle said that maybe I don't even tell you when to do your homework. And she was like, that'd be great. I said, you decide what's best for you. Right.
Great.
So you said, when they come home, Michelle, you say, what is, you said something like, you say, hey, do you have any homework? You can ask. And then they say, yeah. And then you go, okay, well, I hope you find a time to do it. You know, you find a time to
fit it into your schedule. Now I don't even need to do anything. They're on autopilot. They do it all. I don't even get involved. It's been, very it's cool. just, yeah, it's their job. And I think this is. Back to the intrinsic motivation, it's like, maybe that's the path to finding your intrinsic desires in life. Like, what makes you tick?
You're Joseph what Campbell. You're yeah, what turns your light on.
Yeah, exactly. And if we're controlling them so much, they're not going to be able to find their limits and their boundaries and their wants and their wishes and everything. Because if we're curating their life too much, they're not going to figure it out. They're feelers out there.
But I'm curious how you work with parents who have kids who are on different developmental levels or have neurodivergence and all of that stuff. Does this sort of peaceful parenting approach just work for, I'm going to use this in quotes, neurotypical kids? Or how do you approach that?
It works better for kids who have or outside of the normal realm. It works. I have kids, I have parents who have kids who are on the spectrum. I have ADHD kids. I've got kids who have physical disabilities, depression, eating disorders. I've worked with them all. And this actually works better than anything I've ever seen, because you're really building on the connection piece. And what happens is, in brain science, is that nobody can see me. I'm like doing this model, but nobody can see me. I'm putting my one hand over the other. So the outside of the brain is the prefrontal cortex. And that prefrontal cortex stays on top of the limbic system, meaning it stays engaged, meaning your thinking brain stays engaged when you're better connected to your caretaker. Mm-hmm. So your brain actually works better when you have better connection. And when I tell parents that have kids who are struggling with dyslexia or whatnot, when I say lay off them a little bit, build your connection piece, really build your, strengthen that bond incredibly, they will be able to think better. They'll be able to use their brain better, and they'll be able to get through their difficult issue better because your bond is so good. And so that's why it works so well, is because you're allowing what their brains to work. And when you put so much pressure on them, and when you're, you know, punishing them or threatening them or whatever is going on, or just belittling them or just on them, they're living with their prefrontal cortex disengaged, so they're not able to think well. And so they make more educational mistakes because they're not using their brain.
But the brain is, I love that brain.
I will say one thing that I've been doing, Michelle, that I found has been helping me, which is, especially if there's like a play date happening or we're in public and one of the children does something utterly insane, what I've started to do is say, come with me for a walk because I want to talk to you, but I don't want to embarrass you.
Yeah.
And it actually is true. Like, I don't want to, I've got to address something that just happened, but I don't want to embarrass you in front of people by getting yelled at by your parent.
Yeah.
But what happens on that walk actually is it allows me a moment to take a second and walk away from the situation too.
Yeah.
You know, it's been really interesting. Yeah. It's like, I actually, it's sort of framed that this is for you, but it's also like, I don't want to embarrass myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to say something that's belittling, but I want to address something that's happened here.
And yeah. also you're walking.
And
you're
my walking, trauma, right, what my trauma,
right, that, brain, thank yeah. you, friend.
The trauma, my trauma doctor and it's says
connection, right? You're connecting with your child. You're one-on-one with them. You're looking yes. in eyes. You're linking limbic systems. And it's all good things, June. You're doing an incredible job. I mean, that's great. It's so good to take a moment.
Michelle, tell us, can you just, I don't want to skip over just my description of special time. I'd like you to just dive into that. If that's the yeah. one thing you can do,
I love
it's going to transform.
Time.
It's going to truly yes. start to transform your life. Okay, give it to us.
It really is. Special time's super easy. There's very few rules. One rule is we time it. We time it for 20 minutes. So there's a beginning and end. And so everyone knows that when it's over, we are not distracted. We put everything mm-hmm. away. We can't talk to adults. We can't hold on 1 second. I'm going to mm-hmm. answer email. Hold on 1 second. Mm-hmm. I'm going to answer the door. Because when it's we play with a time. Kid, that's not exactly. When we play with a kid, when it's not special time, we still leave that door open to be able to sneak away if we need mm-hmm. to. When we say, I'm doing special time, we're locked in for 20 minutes. You are very focused.
And Michelle, if you have more than one child, okay, so how does special time work with two? Because I can already anticipate yeah. one yes. of them who's not having special time is going to try to get into another special time.
Yeah. So if you can't, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can remediate, but if you can, you try to set up an activity for that other kid and you know, let them know yours is coming, mm-hmm. but you're going to have to wait. And this is a good lesson in patience in waiting our turn. And what will happen is that the first 5 or 10 times you do it, they'll be mad. They'll want to get in mm-hmm. there. They'll be bugging you. But after a while, they learn, oh, this
they
isn't
got theirs
scarce.
Coming.
Mine's coming. And that's why we say do it every single day, especially when you have multiple kids. It's because if you only do it once in a while, then they're also going to really try to get into other people's special time because it's scarce and it doesn't feel regular and you're not getting that infusion all the time.
I think that this idea of special time, especially... My God, we're so easily distracted. I'm so worried about what is happening to our brains and mm-hmm. the level
oh,
of
be.
Stimulation and distraction that's
we
available to us.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm like, I am so craving special time.
Yeah. And I think the great thing about special time, the one other rule is that it's kid-driven. And it
kid-driven.
Yeah, it okay. gives them the power and the control.
They love it.
You're their minion. You do what they
oh,
say.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
BB was like, let's, BB goes, okay, now we're going to run races. I go, oh my God, what? Sometimes it feels like she's like a Barry's boot camp.
Well, they are. I mean, because they don't get a lot of control in their life, right? We control everything. We control where they go to school, what they eat, who they talk to, what restaurants they go. I mean, everything. So they deserve a little control. And this will help them relinquish control later on because you've given them control because it becomes reciprocal.
Mm. She's picking up her room. I'm telling you, there's so many fewer conflicts. It's
Yay.
Crazy.
I'm actually quite curious what they're going to do during special time.
Oh, yeah, it's wild. That would be interesting. And like sometimes they'll do school because they're having an issue at school. Like Esme was having an issue at school in like fourth grade. And so she would be like, we're going to play school during special time. I'm the teacher. Sit down. Don't talk. Put your name on the board. And I was like, ooh, someone's playing out some serious.
Interesting.
Yeah. And lots of things happen in special time.
I can't imagine my special time with my youngest is going to be anything other than Mario Kart. But
oh, how's maybe? That? What's up with, first of all, I want to thank Paul for bringing Mario Kart into my life because somehow he got it into Dan's brain, but now we have Mario Kart. But what do you feel about the video games? I haven't allowed
that. I actually
that.
Do think, Jess, so we've played yeah. Mario Kart a lot as a family.
Yeah, I'm
terrible
at it.
And it's fun to do together.
It is fun. I'm terrible at it, especially when you get into the desert scape. It's difficult.
But Roblox is the one I'm
Roblox
like, makes me sick to my stomach.
Why are they riding fantastical animals? Why is like, why are people approaching you and going, want to trade?
No, Roblox.
It's gross. But tell us, Michelle, like, are there limits around what?
Yeah, I mean, I try not to do electronics during special time. Yeah, I tell them it's no electronics, but I once in a while, PO will be like, please see my world in Roblox, Minecraft, blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, all right, I'm going to indulge you in your stupid electronics. But I try to
see my world.
Yes. So I do. But I try to like say, nah, that's not really what we're doing. And I for a long time say no sweets. And now I have to say no shopping because
I think those are good parameters. I do shopping, I was like, no sweets and no screen time. But I think other than great. That,
and it's great.
Those are the rules. Those are my rules. You can do whatever you want.
I love it. Well, I'm so excited to report to our deep divers what special time looks like.
And June, you can go on my Instagram bio link. And there's, if you click on it, there's a bunch of free guides and there's a special time guide. And so it just tells you how to do it and some things that are interesting.
And for those of you who feel like they really want to deep dive into this, you can do, you know, there's all different programs you can do with Michelle, but I do 6 one-on-one hour-long sessions with her. And it's really wonderful because you can bring your own specifics to Michelle and say, hey, what would you suggest? And kind of role play. And she actually role plays empathetic listening at the end of it, which is so crazy. To watch her do it, I'm like, oh, that's what your face can look like when you're listening. Like, I'm staring at her. And you know what? She's not bad on the eyes. June?
Oh, thank you.
You know, you feel me on that, right, June?
I like it.
It's so odd that I've just been watching both of you. You both have started to morph into the same person.
Great.
I'm going back and forth. You're both very beautiful.
Great.
Thank you.
I am so excited. I think I am going to do some one-on-one consultations if you'll have me.
Of course. I'd love to have you.
I have a few other questions, especially about, you know, how to co-parent with sometimes different ideologies and how to get everybody on the same page.
Unfortunately,
we might have to have you back for a follow-up to talk about that.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining us. So what's the best way for our deep divers to find you?
I think Instagram is where my little home is, Peace and Parenting. I've got a lot going on there, but I have a website, peaceandparentingla.com. I'm on Facebook. My podcast is also Peace and Parenting, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. That's kind
Wonderful.
Of it. Yeah.
Thanks so much,
Michelle.
Thank you, deep divers.
Thank you.
And we will see you next week.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive. Let's go on a deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on a deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free 1-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Anne Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnneGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.